Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. So for this next interview, we actually have a physical therapist, Christy Block. She's a physical therapist from Saskatchewan, Canada, and she runs an Instagram page called reach.rehab, which you should go look up right now, reach.rehab. She's got so many helpful tools, and she makes learning and understanding exercises for specific injuries so easy and simple and definitely fun. She fell in love with weightlifting and vertical training because she played Division I volleyball at the University of Arkansas Little Rock. She also was a personal trainer until she was accepted into the master's program for physical therapy. And she's now a physical therapist at a private clinic. And her overall goal is to inspire others to move and make physiotherapy accessible globally. However, she's already doing that on her Instagram page. She's doing amazing. We're going to get really into the information about moving through persistent or chronic pain. And Christy has actually dealt with neck pain for a year and a half, that she's going to talk about the tools of mental health and the mindset behind recovery and how she's actually able to move through the pain. And now she's on the other side. So it's going to be a really interesting conversation that I know you're going to enjoy. Christy, thank you so much for being here, having other physical therapists on the podcast to share the message and continue to, you know, people that we can learn from as well. We're just so appreciative. So thank you for being here.
You bet. Thank you for having me.
This is one thing that I'm always interested about for physical therapists. So I'll ask it off the bat. It's like, what initially made you interested in going into that profession, to getting into PT, to working with patients on some capacity? What was that initial like stimulus for you that made you wanted to go, hey, let's do PT?
I knew from a young age, like I remember recently when I moved, do you guys remember those letters from grade 8 or whatever you had to write to yourself, or your teachers made you do that?
Yeah.
So I don't know how, but I found it. And in grade 8, I had put that I want to be either a teacher or a physical therapist.
Oh.
So I guess, yeah, it was kind of cool reading that. And I guess at that point, I probably would have been playing a lot of volleyball. And then I was injured quite frequently. So I got to kind of get exposed to what physical therapists do really early on. And I just thought, you know, like, what a great job. You get to move and you get to help other people move and help others without having to deal with blood. So I was like, right on. This is totally my profession.
That was similar to me too. Of like, okay, well, if I'm going to help people, I don't want to like be in the hospital necessarily dealing with surgeries or blood or...
Which I think is crazy about PT, because there are PTs that work in hospitals and work on acute floors and deal with blood and stuff all the time. So that's one thing that I learned
wound
about.
Wound care.
Oh, yeah. Wound care, everything. And that's one thing.
Wound care.
When we went into PT school and we're taking all these classes, I'm just like, holy crap, this is actually what a PT does. Like, I was so off, like, as far as how much we get educated, which I think is a really cool thing about the profession. And like, we come out knowing a lot and knowing how to then take our passion and run with it.
Absolutely. And I did, however, at one of my placements, get to see a surgery, and it was like an open heart surgery. And at that point, I was thinking, well, maybe I made a mistake because this is really amazing. But I got to follow the patient post heart surgery all the way through rehab to sending them home. And that was really amazing and something. So there is definitely something said about like working in the hospital, but I always kind of knew I want to work private practice.
And how are you working with patients in this capacity now?
So like in terms of private practice and frequency or?
Yeah, like are you at a clinic? Are you taking on your own clients? Are you at outpatient? Yeah.
I'm in a private practice here in Regina, and I'm not the owner, but I recently went part-time to kind of take on Reach Rehab now. So I was full-time, and just about a month ago now, I would say I'm part-time in person, and I'm seeing anywhere from like MSK, ortho, like all ages 5 to the other day I had like a 78-year-old. So I really enjoy that every single day is different. And then the other half of it now that I'm coming home and I'm kind of putting more into the page is that I get to do like a lot of education. So I just feel like I'm in that like sweet spot of I get to do the hands-on still, but I also get to like kind of help impact more than one person at a time.
Mm, that's beautiful.
And you talk about education, and I just want you to talk a little bit about what you've learned about education with patients, because I think we initially come in thinking that we're going to do some sort of like specific exercise with them or some specific like technique on them, and it's going to help solve their life's issues. But a lot of it really comes down to educating people so that they can do it on their own. And you've, yes, I know, probably do that in the clinic, but also now what you're learning about doing that in an online space.
Yes. I would say like from, I mean, I've been a therapist for just over 5 years, but from the beginning to now, maybe the biggest takeaway is actually is listening first and just really understanding their goals. Cause I find like when I first started practice, you kind of see, it sounds terrible, but all these things wrong with their, you know, the way that they move. But you have to really just like take a step back and listen to what their goal is. And then like once I kind of now like analyze that, then I educate them on what I think is the most, what's the most important. But I think that that's where I may differ a bit, and maybe other therapists treat the same, but my like page online is that I really, really try to simplify the knowledge, because I find that a lot of times you kind of get that glazed eye look if you give too much information, and it kind of sets like, I don't know, it doesn't set them up for failure, but I find that if we talk too much in our terms and if we overload them, then people kind of shy away from it. So my new strategy for education is educating, but just really, really simplify it.
I think that's absolutely huge. And it was one of the things that I was actually telling Dom too. Like, I think her page has grown so much because she makes it easy to understand. It feels attainable. It feels like, okay, I can do this. I can start this exercise. I can, like, if this is actually going to help to move me forward, this is an easy thing that I can just start doing in my body. And I will say for myself as well, I hugely attribute like the growth of my page early on to keeping it so simple. And I always said, like, I'm not doing it for the other therapists. I'm not doing it for chiropractors or other people to learn from me. I'm doing it for the general population. So the simpler I can make it, the easier it's going to be for people to just start.
Absolutely. I'm so glad that you recognize that, because there is a part of me that wants to just put out way more knowledge, and I feel like I have so much more to kind of offer, especially like other therapists. But you're absolutely right. Like, what it comes down to is I really just had to take a step back, and I thought to myself, am I trying to impress other people, or do I just really want to help people? And what it came down to is I want to help people. And so there is beauty in the basics. And at that point, the hardest step I find for people is just getting started and developing those habits. And so, yeah, that's why I've kind of just stuck with the like really, really simplifying it in hopes to just exactly get one person to do one exercise and you've won. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like, yeah, my goal.
Yeah, that's a really good line, because I feel like sometimes people get kind of paralyzed by all the information and they walk home with 10 or 15 different exercises and pictures of exercises that don't make any sense, or like links to videos that you can kind of find and all this different stuff. But habits are built from consistency. So like you're saying, if someone can do one exercise or one habit every day rather than doing 10 exercises, like maybe twice or once until the next time I see you, and then saying that I did it, but you don't ever really develop that ability to do something consistently. So
absolutely. And I think that it almost, now that you said that out loud, like where you said 10 to 15 exercises, I guess there is probably, it reminded me of actually one of my first physio appointments. I think I was maybe probably 13, 14 years old. And I remember going, and she was so like, she was an amazing therapist, but she gave me maybe like 3 pages. And then I remember, this sounds terrible, but I white lied to her. I guess, no, it's not a white lie. I straight up lied to her. And I told her that I did them all, but of course I didn't. Like, I was so young and I didn't get better. And then my next experience with the physio is, and then I was more honest too. That's the other thing, is we need patient honesty too, right? But I just found that when I was given 2 things and I did do them. So why would I expect my patients to be any different?
Oh, I say that all the time. It's like you hear therapists a lot of times blame the patient, right? They didn't do their exercise. They didn't. Yeah. Well, why? You know, and how can we make that a better experience where one, comes with the education, which you talked about. And then two, comes with something that it feels actually attainable that I can put into my life.
Absolutely. Or they just may hate the exercise, yeah. I find. Like, do you guys ever just say, okay, do you like doing burpees? Not that I prescribe. By the way, I hate burpees. That's why I said them. I never prescribe burpees. But let's just say I just straight up ask, like, do you enjoy doing this? And they're like, I just really hate this one. And the thing is that I wish patients knew more is that we are knowledgeable enough that we have a vast amount of different exercises and there's so many different ways to do them. So if the patient feels comfortable enough to just be like, you know what, I really don't like this one, like then I know that I've developed that connection and that it's going to work.
Yes. And that's so huge. And that's also why, you know, for anyone listening, you can't say, well, what's the one thing for back pain or what's the one program for this? Like there's never one thing that can help. There's so much variety.
Biggest pet peeve for sure.
But have you found like with working with people that there are a couple like heavy hitters, like if you did this every day, or if you just started to incorporate this, like, or do you have some heavy hitters that you can give people right now that can maybe they can think about sprinkling into their day?
Oh, I had someone yesterday, actually. It was beautiful because like, I'm not denying that everyone should only do basics, right? But if people, when they ask, or if I'm like, are you ready for more? And they take on that role, that is like, that's when it gets really fun, right? Yeah. So I had someone yesterday and we just like, put the exercises into their program that they're already doing and they're already consistent in the gym. And I just find that when you can fit it into their day, kind of like what you just said, then it just works out so perfectly. And I find that those people actually continue doing the rehab post, like once their injury is better, which is what we're trying to do, right? On your page all the time, I see like for injury prevention instead of just like when you're in pain.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's the toughest thing to teach people, that like proactivity or being proactive about their health or their pain or wondering why their shoulder hurts, you know, when they stop doing the exercises 6 months later, and rather than just like, hey, we need to learn as humans. One of our kind of mentors said this, and he was one of our first interviews, and it's always stuck with me. He's like, we need to be able to teach humans how to do their daily maintenance on their body. And we really are, we've been kind of removed from that by this modern system that tells us that there's something out there that can fix it for us.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. I like that. I'm going to put that in my back pocket.
I know that you've also done, especially as being an athlete, you've gone through different injuries and whatnot and had different pains and stuff yourself, even recently. And learning that relationship to pain as a patient, and I want you to talk a little bit about that, how like your experience yourself maybe even changed how you now approach educating people.
Absolutely. I would say it changed my perspective in terms of like persisting pain. So pain that's been going on longer than 6 months. Mine lasted about a year and a half. And it just changed the way that, I'm trying to think of the right words. I guess the way my expectations, I guess, is that for myself, like I'm a quite active person and I'm a go-getter and I do my homework when I do it, right? So when I'm not getting better and I'm doing the homework, that frustration that came along with that and getting to the point where you feel like just hopeless, like it's never going to get better. I think that obviously at the time that was a really hard time in my life, but I think it really opened my eyes to why people keep needing that affirmation or like constant feedback. Okay, you're going to get better and this is going to happen. And I guess not promising, but just like when I feel like, I don't know if you guys have experienced this, when you're with someone, you feel like you're telling them the same thing every single time. It's just kind of given me a different perspective and more patience, because when you're in a high, high level of pain and when you are going through that on a daily, you need that constant reassurance there. That's the word I'm looking for. And I feel like that would be the number one thing in terms of how I treat now, is just understanding that we may not be thinking 100% clearly when you are in that high, high pain phase and that you're looking just for anything as an outlet. My second thing would be just finding other ways to move. So I think at least the fact that I'm a physical therapist, like that really benefited me. But it was still just as challenging, even though I know different ways to move and I know the modifications and I know what to do, but it was still just the frustration and the patience of how long it can take. And I think that if I can in any way get that across to someone, if someone's listening to this right now and has been going through this themselves or persisting pain, to just stay focused on the day to day and what makes you feel good. And I think that that's kind of what got me through. And then also, again, trusting the process. It's hard as a physical therapist to just like drop everything, all my knowledge or what I think I may know, and just completely put my full trust into someone else. And so I think that those were the main things that really, really stuck with me in my own journey, and that it honestly just takes time. But nobody wants to hear that. Like that's the hardest thing to hear, is that, yeah, it's going to take time and dedication. And whether you may think that, oh, this will be better in 3 months, oh, this will be better in 6, there's no guarantee. But that's why just focusing on the day to day, I found to be really helpful.
And that's huge. I mean, that's the hardest part, right? When a patient comes in and they say, well, how long is this pain going to be? And how long is the rehab process? And there's never one answer in that. And I think you highlighted it so beautifully as well, to shift the mindset rather than continuously thinking of what I can't do because of the pain. You start thinking, okay, yes, I have this pain. Now, what can I do? Like, how can I modify so that I can go about my day? And I think that is one of the biggest takeaways that I find, like, through my challenges. I try to get people to just approach it in a way of not what I can't do, but what I can do. Like, let's start focusing on this other side, because we can't control, you know, the can't right now, but we can control the can. And I think that is so, like, huge and so beneficial that people need to hear. Now, did you have a specific incident that happened that caused the neck pain? Was it something that just came on? Like, how did, what happened?
So I got injured at work. I was manipulating someone, and then I got like nerve pain in both upper limbs and like neck pain. And so I guess like that would be the other thing, is technically I was on workers' comp. So to me, that was also kind of like challenging, because we treat people that are, so WCB is Workers' Compensation Board. So that means, when you get injured at work. So I treat people like that quite commonly. And so to be in that position now where you're not working as many hours, and that, it just really threw me for a loop. And just, you know what, at the end of the day, I think it was really healthy to, get to see it from a patient's perspective, because you never think you're going to be in that position. And then life has its own turns, right?
And so during that, were you seeing a PT or like getting, you know, worked on yourself or getting coaching at all?
So initially, like, again, like just kind of like anyone else, like just because I'm a physio doesn't mean I'm not the same, right? We're human. And so I was kind of in denial, I think, a bit at first. And I didn't really tell anyone at first. And I was just trying to like power through, and it continued to get worse and it continued to get worse. And then finally, another therapist was like, you do not, like, how you doing? Like, you know, they could just tell. So I did end up getting treatment, and then that's when things kind of got better. But I definitely would say I try to just work through it and push through. And of course, like when you're already inflamed, that's not the time to be pushing, but I have that headstrong mentality. And I don't know, our generation, I'm putting us all in the same generation here. I was kind of taught, you just like push through, and you push through, and no matter what you feel. And even though I know as a therapist that that's not right, I still, in that moment of panic and moment of stress, I just chose to ignore all of that knowledge. Mm-hmm. And so the other point coming from that would be that if you are anxious about, making a claim with workers' comp, like talk to your therapist or just have that open conversation, because that period at the very beginning is so important so that you can get out of inflammation, so it doesn't become this constant spiral. And that's probably something I don't like have regrets, but that's something that I want to learn going forward, is just to make sure that you take yourself out of those bad postures so that you aren't constantly being inflamed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I feel like so many people kind of, especially initially with injury or something like that, go with that kind of, we're going to tough it out mentality.
Yeah. It's going to go away.
Yeah. Like, oh, it'll go away. Or I felt something kind of like this before, and then it doesn't. And then you get 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks into it, and you've been doing things all along that may have been perpetuating the issue after the fact, and rather than just like getting it checked out right away. Do you think that some of that comes from your history in athletics and having injuries and, you know, 100% kind of what you get taught about pain as an athlete?
Yeah. When I played Div 1, like volleyball, it was just kind of like, I remember I rolled my ankle and it was like quite swollen, like probably a grade 2 or grade 3, which means you shouldn't be putting weight on it. And we just taped it up before it was, but it, again, it was a final match and they're like, well, do you want to start or not? And I wanted to start. So just toughing it out, doing that kind of mentality kind of got me far in life, but then I'm suffering for it now. Like now I have my own ankle issues and that kind of thing, and which I'm sure Jen, being a gymnast, has her own thoughts on that too. But I would say that that's what I really want to prevent for the next generation going forward, is hopefully we can take that no pain, no gain mentality out. And just, that's just honestly will save you so many more years of pain relief down the road.
Yeah, that is huge. And I also want to like talk into, I know like obviously this is personal to you and what you experienced, right? So what you say is not going to work for everyone. However, what is the thing that started to kind of turn the corner for you? Like what is it within your neck pain journey that you were like, oh, now I'm starting to find relief and this is starting to work and you started to turn a corner?
Yeah. I would say honestly, backing off, just like accepting that I have an injury. Like it sounds so silly. Like it sounds so simple that to be like, yeah, you have an injury. It's obvious. But just accepting what comes with an injury and be willing to step back. And I think that, because like I have my therapist, and again, I think it depends on your patient. Like if I look at it as a physio, you have your patients that are like, they're there because they do way too much, right? Or else you have your patients that don't do enough. Well, I was definitely the patient that's like, you know, all or none. And so for me, it's more like the way that I am, the way that I just push has always made me successful in the past. And once I recognize that less is more, especially in terms of like nerve related pain, that's when I started to see get better, and changing postures was huge too. Actually, let's make those a tie. Stepping back and posture, I think is so underrated, but it's like, honestly, it was what got me better, changing my posture.
There you go. Don't be afraid to say it. I think it's such a taboo thing nowadays, right? It's like, yes, we have studies that posture cannot correlate to pain. And if it's something that helped you, like it's not a bad thing. I think when
people even say the word like posture, people immediately think about, oh, you need to stay in this one specific position with your shoulders back, with your core tight, with your butt tight and all that stuff. But really, we're talking more about the awareness of posture and what that brings you in your back's ability to understand where it's at and what it's doing, and being aware of what postures you're holding throughout the day and how you can move more fluidly through them. And because, I mean, really, when we have those chronic type and persistent pain issues, it's just something that starts to eat away at that nervous system ability to even understand where it's at, that proprioceptive ability in space.
Yeah. And I'm so glad that you mentioned that. So yeah, definitely not just static posture. For me, it was just moving frequently. Mm-hmm. So just putting my body in a position that feels good and changing the posture very frequently. Mm-hmm. So definitely I'm glad that you relayed that, because I think you're right. It is odd that people think, no, you just have to stand exactly still in this position. And it's like it's the opposite. It's just, getting that nervous system to calm down and relax and not always be on full stretch and strain all the time repetitively. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a quote from Dr. Greg Lehman, who's actually from Canada as well. Woo. And I'm trying to remember but his thing is basically like calm shit down and then build it back up. Like that's what he says. Yeah. Like that's really the path to, you know, getting through injury. We have to calm it down and make sure that we take away some of the stimulus that's affecting it. And then we just start to build it back up by exercises that we can tolerate, you know, and it doesn't have to be as complicated as people make. But what you said in acceptance of pain, I think, is so huge. Like accepting that this is my reality right now and it's okay. Like that's such a hard thing to take in, because you don't want to accept it, but I don't want this. I don't, you know, so you keep resisting, you keep like pushing it away. But when we actually just step back and say, okay, this is where I'm at. Now, what can I do? rather yes. than continuing to just resist it. I think, you know, you said it was silly, but it's really not. And I think people need to hear that, you know, more and yes. more, that this idea of acceptance and what that really means in the body is so huge.
Absolutely. I think like you nailed it, because like positive self-talk, honestly, is the way I would go about my day. I'd be like, instead of being like, oh, there it is again, I'd be like, okay, I'm feeling tension in my shoulder. I'm getting nerve pain in my arm. Okay, what can I do? Can I stand now? Can I walk? You know, and like the can I, and the it's like, really, you're right though. It's not silly, but it's almost like you have to remind yourself every day that this is normal for where you're at in your injury. Mm. And that, yes, the pain is there and it will get better, and just continually positive self-talking. And I think that may have come from like kind of my athletic background too, is just like, you know, and that might be where people struggle. And that's where I really want to keep educating, is exactly what you just said, is that the way that we talk to ourselves in that time, and the way that we shift our focus.
Yeah. And I mean, even as athletes, like I remember having friends that were athletes, myself on one occasion, like when you have that injury that actually keeps you out, like I was non-weight bearing on a foot injury for like 4 months and missed a whole baseball wow. season. And when it drastically changes your identity as like an athlete, or even as a human athlete, if you really like to go play tennis, if you really like to go yeah. hiking or whatever it is you do as a person, and suddenly you can't do that, pain can be a very emotionally taxing thing, and, you know, get you in some depressive places. And so I think that positive self-talk can't be understated. And as a provider, since we're all PTs here, and you run into somebody like that who's having a really emotional experience in their life around a pain, you can't just foo-foo that and try yes. to do your technique. Like you said, absolutely. Coming back around to the education, you need to listen to that person mm-hmm. and give them some time to process what's going on in front of you.
I'm glad you brought up the emotional aspect of that, because I mean, I did run into that myself a bit too, in terms of I just had some like family things going on. And so definitely I would say that the stress exacerbated my pain or made mm-hmm. it much worse. And I find that if I didn't, like I did choose to try to manage that, like early on in my injury, I didn't address it and I wasn't really finding I was like making progress. So again, if you are someone listening to this and you're going through this and you are having a persisting pain, I would just say really like, looking at how you want to tackle the mental health aspect. And so for me, like physical activity isn't just like, I don't want to do it just to look good. Like for me, I move my body because of the mental health aspect. So when I ran into a stressful situation and I couldn't go to the gym, I was really struggling to figure out new strategies to deal with the stress. And so yeah, that was another kind of part that I didn't really think like that I had an issue with is other strategies. So that's where the mental health can really, really impact the physical, and where, just bringing that up again with your therapist, like, and even just having that chat with your physio, and they can direct you to the proper services, is so, so imperative. And especially like I was looking up studies with neck pain, and I think it was like, I don't want to say exactly, but I think around 70% of the people that have neck pain, it also occurred like when they were going through a really hard time in their life. So I don't know if you guys have kind of heard much on that.
Oh yeah. We did a whole podcast on chronic pain because it is so emotionally driven. And it's something that I appreciated so much from stepping out of the typical clinic and doing my own work with patients one-on-one, because now I have a private space. I can, yeah. I have the time to actually talk to someone, and I have this space that I can create that allows them to cry on my table if they need to yes. emote, to actually not be surrounded by other patients and clinics and all this busy stuff that's going on, but actually be and yes. express what's happening. And it was truly a gift that I appreciate every day that I get to work with people in the capacity that we do now, because it is highly needed. You know, it's uh-huh. not enough to just see your therapist for 15 minutes, 10, 15 minutes, get worked on, and then go work with the aide. I think it's a failing system that way sometimes, and we yeah. need a little bit more for the patient.
How long have you been doing that for? That's really cool.
I left the typical clinic like a year and a half into school. So
Yeah.
Or after school, after I graduated. So I left in 2017 and I've been doing my own thing.
That's awesome. No, I agree. I find, and that's kind of like the struggle now. Like I would say, like I have 20 minute appointments, and that's maybe where I've really learned you have to simplify, because there's all these things you want to do and get through. But then if the patient is feeling rushed and if they do want to express those emotions, they won't be able to. Mm-hmm. And I do agree with you. I think that they need that time and you need, yeah, I think that we are losing that a bit in terms of shortened appointments. Absolutely.
Yeah, that was one of my toughest things in different settings, was the amount of patients you were expected to see. And mm-hmm. I did have a few that we could get hour or 45 minute appointments, but you had to take so much notes and you had to do it like during your, and they expected us to do it during our patient visit. So then I was like, nah, I'm not going to do that. But then I stayed so late doing paperwork. And yeah, that was the system that kind of drove me to want to see people individually. But I don't know, there's many ways to reach patients in clinics like that. Like you said, by teaching people simply, by offering them all these different solutions that they can incorporate consistently.
What I'm really hoping is, and for Reach Rehab too, and maybe not right now, but in the future, is I would love to do something similar, but like customizable programs. And I think that's where like people are really, really excited for, is like compared to like maybe 10, 15 years ago, is now we're looking at injury prevention. So let's say, like for me, when I was a volleyball player, I would have loved to have had that as an option to go to a physio and be like, can you watch the way I move? And let's make a program for me so that I felt 100% prepared when I went into college. Versus like when I showed up, I barely had lifted weights. My knees were caving in. It was all a mess in my opinion. And I think that I really hope that that's where we go, is that there's more interest in the preventative and customizable programming.
Well, I know like you definitely know the value of being able to teach globally and teach on a platform where you can teach a lot of people, you know, whether on social media, whether it's Instagram like you or other platforms that people educate through. Like, what are you learning of the value of being able to do just that, like put your education in this nice, neat little package and send it out online and maybe be able to impact a broad, you know, group of people?
Yeah, definitely. It was one of my goals when I started the page. I don't know if I mentioned, I went on a trip to Uganda a few years ago, and that's kind of was my aha moment, is that obviously I was able to help people when I was there, but not to the level that I wanted. And so what I've just truly appreciated about social media is that you can impact more than one person, and like, well, thousands, especially on your guys' account. And it just really took me back to what extent and how far and wide. And so many people during COVID had no access to physical therapy. And now they have somewhat of an idea of when to go in for physio or some sort of help for them, right? So I would say that is my major goal, and I don't know where it's going to go in terms of like global. I've run into a few hiccups in terms of like proper practices, especially from like, let's say even Canada versus the States and Canada versus like Africa. But what I would really like to see is us push the boundaries as other physical therapists, especially on social media or just people in general, is to try to expand our knowledge into other countries, and especially those areas that have next to no access at all.
100%. If we can get access to people who really, really need it. Dom and I talk about this all the time, like even in, you know, cities throughout the country, like how could we either teach there or through events, or, you know, how could we get access? And I think that is such a beautiful thing. And why you also, I think that you're growing the way that you are on social media is because you're coming from such a pure place of wanting people to learn and having the tools to be able to do that. And yes, we're limited in terms of, you know, being able to help anyone across boundaries, and you know, we can't diagnose, but is that necessary? But maybe we can get people
exactly.
to move, you know?
Yeah. Just thinking out loud, is there anything that you feel like social media could do to help like impact people outside of the country? Or I don't know, like I've been trying to think of it for a while on my own, and maybe we get a group of people going and like kind of create awareness on like the problems outside of our own country. And I don't know, I know that there's such a need for it, but I just don't have the tools to get there, but I know there is a way and we'll make a way.
Well, one, I think you're doing it. So obviously it's limited because people do need access to technology if they're going to watch it. But you're doing it. You're bringing that accessibility to people anywhere who have the ability to get technology. And then, yes, being able to, you are all about collaboration too, which is why I appreciate you so much. And in you're growing in this space, and because you're taking other physical therapists, chiropractors, anyone along the ride as well. And I think you are continuing to do it. And if you continue that way, we could all collaborate somehow together and create really cool ways to build awareness. But I think everyone needs to go check you out at Reach Rehab, reach.rehab, and go follow, because one, not only do you make it accessible, easy, and fun, but you are doing the work and the things that you want to create. I'm like, you're already doing it, Christy.
I don't feel that way, but when I hear you say it, it's like impactful. Like, it almost brought me to tears, because it's that is my goal. And I just really want to truly help others. And you're right. Like, that's what we are all doing. We're putting out the free education. And if people are utilizing that, then you're right. Then it's begun already. Like I mentioned, I'm that person. I give it 150%. So I just hope that I'm doing enough. And I am excited to see how the page grows, and so that we can reach more people. So,
no, absolutely. And we're excited to watch you keep on impacting people globally. And yeah, there's always ways that we can use this amazing technology to reach more. So we appreciate you being here today and sharing everything, and can't wait to chat with you in the future.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. And I'm going to continue to tune in to your guys' post-wedding workouts. It's been very uplifting.
Hey, you too. Have a great wedding coming up. Actually, this will probably come out around when you're getting married.
I know.
Oh, cool. I didn't think of that.
Yet another incredible interview. Jen and I absolutely just love interviewing PTs, specifically PTs like Christy, who just make it easy and bring that information to you, which is what we love doing on these podcast episodes, on the interviews, the PT Pearls. So if you haven't, please go and subscribe on your favorite podcasting app. Leave us a review. You have no idea how much that helps us be seen more. And we have so many more PT Pearls interviews that we want to bring your way actually coming up. Super excited. We have my dad on an interview next week. So stay tuned for that. We talk in a ton about what he does delivering babies, especially being in a rural part of the country. So super fun interview next week. Stay tuned for that.